Our scripture reading is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. As he came walking into the sanctuary, things didn't look right. Down in front of the altar were all of the items that were supposed to have been up on the altar, and they were on the floor, kind of scattered around. And near them were a number of black candles that obviously had been burned that were sitting in a circle. And in the middle of all this was the big Bible from the altar, and it was turned to the book of Revelation, and certain passages were circled. As he looked around in the sanctuary, the number 666 had been written in a number of places. My cousin was a young pastor at the time, and that's what he found as he came one night for a Lenten service into the sanctuary. After the police arrived, they concluded, obviously, that there had been some kind of satanic ritual that took place one night and somebody broke into that church. There were very visible evidence, pieces of evidence, you might say, of Satan's presence. The text before us reminds us, however, that the devil isn't always so visible in this world, and the presence of evil is in fact most often not so visible. Our text tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness, invisible forces. And the first thing that St. Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that St. Paul would have us know and understand is the actual existence, the real existence of this evil foe of the devil that we have. In our day and age, Walt Disney has done a lot to kind of turn evil and turn thoughts of devilish images into more of a cartoon. And it's maybe sometimes easy for us in this rationalistic age in which we live to think of these type of forces somehow along the line of vestiges of fictitious characters from medieval days. And maybe things like back to Hercules and mermaids and so on. It's important for us to keep the real existence of the devil in our minds and hearts as we understand the spiritual struggle we are involved in. Years ago, I had a lady that came up to me after church, middle-aged lady, who had been a member at the church I was serving for about 20 years. I'd only been there for a few months. And following a sermon that dealt with how the devil can work on us, she came up to me and she said, "One thing I've always appreciated about this church, the devil is very real here." And that was quite a comment. God would have us have not only a knowledge of his existence, the devil's existence, but also to be aware of his cleverness and have a healthy respect for this enemy. The passage before us talks about the wiles of the devil. The Greek word that St. Paul uses there is methodeos. It's the word we get methods from, scheming and plotting and planning and strategies. You see, when the devil goes out after each one of us, it's not just on a whim. He doesn't just kind of throw ideas and things out there, but he looks at each one of us individually and knows our weaknesses and knows where we're at in life and tries to then devise a particular scheme, plotting a strategy against just you or me, that will have, hopefully in his mind, the best effect against us. Let me just describe for you some of his best strategies on me. They may connect with you as well. First of all, to just fall into a rut regarding some particular sin, that you've just become so accustomed to it now in your life that you really don't feel you need to repent of it anymore. It's just kind of dulled your conscience. Another one is turning your religion into just kind of some outward play that you are involved in, like you're a dramatic character, and you have to somehow present yourself to other people and other fellow Christians. Having yourself simply go through the motions of your religion and saying the right words, but not letting it actually connect back to your heart and to your soul. Having your repentance become simply words that you go through. Slowly changing your priorities in life so that heaven isn't quite as important as it maybe once was. And another one is taking pride in your pedigree and in the background that you've come from, as if somehow that's going to matter to God. God warns us, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. Know this, if you love Christ, if you belong to him, if you cherish his work and his grace and so on for you, then understand that you are on the top of the list for Satan. And he will be spending time on you, somehow, some way. Don't be fooled into thinking he's not. There's no need for him to go after the unbelieving world. He's already got them. And if they stay there, they'll be with him forever in eternity. And so in this life and in this world, you will never be free, as a Christian, you will never be free from the scheming and plotting of the devil. And he will hound you all the way until somebody takes your body to the mortuary. An elderly man, an elderly Christian man who had spent many years of his life teaching God's word to others, once came to see me just months before he died. And he said, I remember the expression he used, he said, it's almost like in the last months now of my life, because he knew he was dying, it's almost as if the devil has turned it up a notch. This is why St. Paul, by God's direction, has us find our confidence in the Lord and how he arms us. Notice in our text, Paul doesn't say, be strong in yourself. Notice he doesn't even say, be strong in your faith, which he certainly could. That would be a good thing to say. But if I am to rely on myself or even the strength of my faith when it comes to fighting against the devil, I'm in trouble because my faith goes all over the place. And there are a lot of times it's not very strong. And so St. Paul doesn't direct you and me. He doesn't send us to the strength of our faith for security. He sends us instead to the object of our faith, and that is Christ. Notice, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when we look at the words that follow the text we have for today that we heard preached on yesterday about all the different aspects of the armor of God, if you look closely at all of those different aspects of the armor, they not only are about Christ or direct us near Christ, but they are Christ. He alone has the power and supremacy over the devil. In fact, such power and supremacy that he could defeat the devil with a corpse, his own dead body. The author of Hebrews tells us, by his death, he has destroyed him who holds the power of death. And that's why when you were baptized, you weren't simply baptized into faith in Christ. Paul says, you were baptized into Christ. It's in him and him alone that we have the security. Now, when you fall down in this battle, if you're like me, you will. It will happen. You need to get right back up on your horse. And you do that through the process of repentance, genuine repentance before God, seeking his grace and forgiveness in that very Savior who has won it for you. And head right back to your Savior's cross and head right back to your Savior's empty grave for your strength. Because in him, the one who sits victorious in heaven, the one who has prepared a place for you and is now waiting for you, in him, you are more than conquerors. Amen.